We shall recommence. We're 40 minutes behind time. So we go to item 17.
Thank you.
And it's Leonardo again.
Agenda paper 17 is about a request to clarify the applicability of the amendments to IFRS 7 to condense interim financial statements. The issue is whether the new offsetting disclosure required by the amendment should be included in every set of condensed interim financial statements or only when IAS 34 requires this disclosure. The SB already discussed this issue in its every meeting, and the SB agreed that the new offsetting disclosure required by the amendments are not required for all interim periods after the first year of application of the amendment to IFRS 7. However, this disclosure should be given in condensed interim financial statements when their inclusion is required by IAS 34. In its July meeting, the Interpretation Committee recommended to clarify this issue to annual improvements. The committee agreed with the ISB that after the first year of application of the amendments to IFRS 7, the offsetting disclosure should be given when required by IAS 34, and decided to clarify in the IFIC update that also in the first year of application of the amendments, the offsetting disclosure should be given when required by IAS 34. This clarification was made in the IFIC update because it is too late to clarify this issue for the first year of application of the amendment. We ask the board members if they agree with the Interpretation Committee's recommendation to propose an amendment to annual improvements for this issue. Our proposed amendment is in Appendix A of the paper. Thank you.
Should we give Pat a chance to repeat yesterday's comments on a round paper?
Okay. Any comments? Mary, sorry.
I wasn't here when the board... How, you know, did the change to IFRS 7? If we've gone back and forth and if we're happy that this is accurate conclusion about intention combined with the final drafting that came out of it, fine. What I wanted to comment on is to say, I think we're putting too much process around this. I think we don't need to do an amendment to confirm this reading. If the conclusion that came out of this process was that the disclosure should be required in interim financial statements, and I can see that there's fuzziness in the wording about that I think we would have to undertake formal due process and amendment to get to a conclusion that the disclosures are required. If people are saying there's some ambiguity in the wording, there's been public discussion at the Interpretation Committee. If this discussion here says, right, we agree with the conclusion of the Interpretation Committee, I think we don't need to act further, you know, and go through a whole process and wind up asking people to comment on our draft, come back to us, finalize something, it's being issued in any number of languages, go through endorsement process, confirm that they don't have to do anything. I think, you know, we've provided public visibility about what our conclusion is, and we could just stop there.
Anybody else?
Yeah, if we were to note in the minutes in the ISB update that it is what the ISB thinks, would that be okay in terms of due process? I think so, but...
it was described to me as standard setting by magazine when we did that with...
We are not setting a new standard here. As Mary said, we are just confirming what was our...
It's the difference between we want to get people to do something versus a question has been raised of didn't we intend to require it in interim. If our conclusion was no, we didn't, and people are saying because we don't read it clearly as requiring it in interim, I just don't know that we have to dot the I's and cross the T's to say it's not required. And the reason I'm saying that is I think we are forgetting the tremendous ripple effect and cost of any change that we make, and then it creates a question about are you applying IFRS 7 2014 or 2015 when all, you know, it's another version and the user has to remember, oh, that's right, that's the version that just tells me I'm not getting a disclosure that I'm not getting. But it still is one more thing to stop and think about. We're just creating a more expensive system.
I'm just not sure we got there. In essence, the meeting where we talked about this a couple of months ago, we effectively the board were asked what we thought our view was at that point, and we said precisely what you're saying now. We actually decided in that meeting that our view was that you would apply this in the first interim reporting period and not thereafter. Thereafter, you would apply the normal. And a lot of people followed that meeting because they were at that point where it was important for them to hear. And they came away saying, okay, we understand that, but it's still not what we read. And in 3 years' time or 4 years' time or 5 years' time when people are interpreting the standard, I'm not sure they're going to remember that they need to look back to a specific meeting we have on a specific day.
What about an interpretation? So I know it's a bit of a surprise for the interpretation scheme.
I think the problem here was that the wording really was... The word really does seem to imply that you have to do it every year. And the only thing that steers you in a different direction is the location of the paragraph within the bigger body. The paragraph sits in the transition requirement, so that seems to signify that it's right. One interim period. But the wording seems to make it very clear it's interim period. So I certainly have had a lot of people who came back to me afterwards and said, well, hopefully that's not all you're going to do, because the problem is still there. Okay, TK?
I think normally I would have agreed with Mary's thought process on this, because it's creating a lot of cost in the system. But I think I had a similar point that Daryl had, in the sense, because two things. There are jurisdictions who do not follow us this closely, and this could be something which will make its way into a big four accounting firm's manual or something, but there are smaller firms who do it and they may not have the access, so that creates a disparity. The other problem we need to think about it is that US GAAP had a specific requirement in their interim disclosures. If it was also similar to this, then it will not create tension. So in the light of all that, I think, and we had a big debate, and I remember Pat was pretty emotional about this, and but at the end of the day, we decided it's not required. So I think at this one time, we really need to think about actually going ahead and clarifying it so that there is no doubt. I remember being asked in a leasing conference and in front of 2,000 people once, that does IAS require this disclosure in the interim? So I think this is a big deal.
Well, yes, I agree with the easy process, because I got a kind of some email maybe from the borrowers, the investors relationships. Some investors very upset at our decision, you know, not to disclose all interim standards, so we need a kind of opinion survey of outside on this our temporary decision.
Okay, anybody want to support Mary? I must say it has appealed to me, just because I'm getting sick of narrow scope amendments.
Well, it's certainly improvements, but it's part of the package.
It is, yeah.
But the only other way of doing it is that the interpretation committee was able to reject, because it was clearly a drafting problem. But that's the only other way.
And you know, they looked at this. They just said that it was fine to clarify the first year, because that was needing immediate clarification. But when it came to the ongoing, they felt that an amendment to the standard was needed.
Okay.
All right. Everybody agree with the proposal?
Yeah.